Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, March 14th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy O'Yea Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy, Tim Gettys.
How you doing, Bless?
I'm doing good, Tim. How are you doing?
It's a Thursday, and it feels like a Thursday.
It feels like a Thursday.
So it's appropriate.
Yeah. I will say, I am a bit tired.
Yeah.
A bit hungover. I talked to Barrett about this when he came in.
Oh, I saw a picture you out. Yeah.
Yeah, I went out with Michael Haim and some homies, and we did trivia. And, you know, usually when you do bar trivia on and during the week, it's like, okay, cool. We're going in at 7, maybe 8. We get done by 9:30, go home, go our separate ways. And this group of people, we decided not to go our separate ways.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the next spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go to the next spot and get Korean barbecue at fucking midnight.
Yep.
And now I'm four old fashions in.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, we got work tomorrow. At least I think I was the person that like had like the earliest, or not the earliest, but I guess like I had to be on camera.
Yeah. You wear it well. I wouldn't have known.
Thank you.
Otherwise.
I appreciate
you don't
it.
Sound bad. You don't look bad. So we're off to a good start.
I wanted to preface.
You're not me on a hangover. You
know? I wanted to preface because this is one of those episodes that's going to have a lot of reading.
Okay, I'll help you on some
stuff. Yeah, I appreciate it. I might need to point you.
I got you.
Yeah, I might need you to do the NVIDIA GeForce update for me.
For sure.
But yeah, how are you doing? We talked about like shows and like Fallout coming out and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it jogged a thing I wanted to talk about, and I've already lost it. Netflix, Amazon. Oh, I canceled HBO Max. We were talking about things that we were keeping and things that we were losing.
Got it.
And I've been in this stage of trying to like clean house a little bit, figure out like, okay, what is... What am I actually watching? What am I actually doing? And I went through. I canceled Disney Plus. Then I hopped on my sister's Disney Plus.
Got it.
I've been on a friend's Hulu for a while, and I think they've forgotten. So I'm waiting to get kicked off of it. But I had to double check. Turns out I have Hulu on my own, but it's the ad version because I have it through Spotify.
Mm.
So I'm rocking with that.
Yeah.
I just canceled HBO Max because I realized after watching Dune 1, I'm like, all right, cool. Why do I even have this still? You know, like what's coming out on HBO Max? There's not a new Euphoria anytime soon, I don't think.
No, it's gonna be a while.
I have been kicked off of my family Netflix because Netflix cracked down on the passwords. And so like now I'm at a crossroads. Tim, do I pick up Netflix? Now that I've canceled HBO Max and a few other things, do I go back to Netflix?
What you need to pick up is Apple TV.
I have Apple TV. Actually, do I have Apple TV? That's a good question.
Well, then you have a lot of shit to go back and watch. Plus. Mm-hmm. I know you already watched Mythic Quest, but there's so much good stuff on Apple TV. Yeah, it's unfortunately for me and G, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, we watch a lot of TV, and so we get our fill from every single one of the streaming platforms. Like, it is worth it. We've, like, done the run the numbers, everybody.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, it's worth it for the amount of time we get per month from everything. Paramount Plus is the one exception, but Paramount Plus, we got some deal that's essentially free. So it doesn't matter. But like, I think you know what? That's not true. She watches Survivor every night. Yeah, Paramount Plus is worth it.
Wow. There you go. You guys are just out here.
We're just out here, man.
Hey, Paramount Plus, it's got, the good Avatar, bless, Korra as well. It's got all the classic Nickelodeon. You got Hey Arnold on there, man.
You think I'm just going to sit and just rewatch all of Hey Arnold?
No, because I might. But like, here's the thing is like, you know, maybe you're sitting back and you're like, let me pick up another run of Bellagio. Let me put something comforting on in the background. Then you got Hey Arnold and his grandma rescuing a big turtle together.
Shout out to Hey Arnold. Hey Arnold was a really good show.
Hey Arnold real quick. On the flip side of Hey Arnold. Shout out to As Told by Ginger.
Oh, dude, we don't talk about As Told by Ginger.
We do not talk about it enough, and I feel like we're starting to. I've seen a lot of video essays popping up on YouTube of people that would be like, we're not talking about this show enough. And I'm like, finally somebody's talking about
this
show.
Would you believe that on my personal YouTube channel, I have an As Told by Ginger theme song remix? I loved As Told by Ginger.
I love that. I can't wait to listen to it. That is incredible. Something about As Told by Ginger that is so cool. I was just watching an essay about this, so I got Ginger on the mind, everybody. But it's really cool that it's one of the only, if not the only, kids cartoons where every episode they're wearing different outfits. And like every season, they actually progress in time. But like episode to episode, they're changing their clothes.
Yeah.
You don't see that. They're wearing the same thing for like 10 years, you know?
And who's cool. Who's singing the theme song?
I don't know. Are they famous?
I thought it was a famous person. Isn't that like Macy Gray or somebody like that? I feel like it's somebody.
Her best friend's name, Macy.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. No, somebody in chat says Macy Gray. Yeah, no, people in chat are saying Macy Gray. So maybe her best friend's name, Dr. Macy Gray.
Maybe.
There you go.
It's all connected, everybody. As Told by Ginger on Paramount Plus now, I think.
And video games and Kind of Funny Games Daily, because, of course, we're talking about today's stories, which include analysts' thoughts on GTA 6, Star Wars Battlefront's disastrous launch, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, a new episode of the Kind of Funny XCast is up about the long wait for the next Fallout game. God, do I feel that. That's up over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. A new WrestleMania ranked episode is up, and it's Stone Cold versus Bret Hart. That's up over on youtube.com/kindoffunny. The Mix and Kind of Funny have teamed up for the Spring Game Showcase. 60 indies will strut their stuff tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's the usual KFGD time. Come watch us on our channels and the Mix channels, IGN or GameSpot. What that means is that KFGD on Friday, tomorrow, is at noon instead of the original time, and then Game Showdown is going down right after that, approximately at 1 p.m. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Raisin Factor, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Tim, I want to start off with sort of an opinion piece.
I like this.
Let's go. Isn't like big breaking news, but the streets have been talking. Mm-hmm. I think what the streets are saying is kind of interesting.
Okay. Tell me what they're saying.
GTA 6 is probably the most important release in games history. This comes from Wesley Yenpool at IGN. This is we'll dive deeper into it, but the original thing is coming from Matt Piscatella at Circana. Amid mass layoffs, studio closures, and high-profile AAA flops, the video game industry is currently suffering one of the worst periods in history. Revenue-wise, it's also struggling. According to U.S. sales data U.S. sales track data tracking firm Circana, 2024 game spending is set to end up down 2%, and that's the most optimistic outlook. Damn. Explaining Microsoft's shock mass layoff that affected nearly 2,000 staff at its gaming businesses, Xbox boss Phil Spencer said the industry had failed to grow the gaming audience in recent years, especially on console. But there is one bright spark looming over the horizon: Grand Theft Auto 6. In an interview with GamesIndustry.biz, Circana analyst Matt Piscatella said Rockstar's surefire hit will spark renewed interest in video games before going one step further. Quote, "There's probably never been a more important thing to ever release in the industry, so no pressure," end quote. Clearly, there's a huge amount riding on GTA 6, and not just for developer Rockstar and its owner, Take-Two. This is a game some analysts predict will end up as the best-selling of all time, the kind of game to break entertainment records. In 2013, it took GTA 5 just 3 days to surpass $1 billion in sales, becoming the fastest to that figure in entertainment history. GTA 6 could hit $1 billion in 24 hours. All that money flooding into video game retail will obviously boost the bottom line of any company that stands to benefit from the sale of video games and accessories from Amazon to GameStop and, of course, Microsoft and Sony, which sell games via its digital stores. When GTA 6 eventually comes out at some point in 2025, there will be a lot of companies fighting for their cut. But there's more. GTA 6 is the kind of game that will sell consoles. Sony is expected to release a PS5 Pro later this year, and it will no doubt benefit from interest in GTA 6. Similarly, GTA 6 will sell Xbox Series X and S and whatever hardware refresh Microsoft plans. Let's remember, GTA 6 is not coming out on PC at launch. To play the game, you have to own a PlayStation or an Xbox, which I forgot about that. That's wild that they do that at Rockstar. They don't do the PC day and date release.
I know.
Beyond the point of sale, GTA 6's GTA Online equivalent will surely come packed with microtransactions as the current GTA Online does. Microsoft and Sony will get their cut of any money spent there too. Is GTA 6 the most important release in games history, as has been suggested? Mass layoffs continue to decimate the video game industry, so it very well may be. But let's remember the people who are also working to make GTA 6 a reality, and the issues they're facing as the industry holds its breath for their game to come out. Last month, developers at Rockstar hit out the company's decision to force staff to return to the office 5 days a week to close out work on GTA 6, with some expressing concern about crunch. Tim Geddes, is GTA 6 the most important release in games history?
I mean, I think easily yes. And I feel like that's just one of those things where, like most topics in video games, as we go on, they're just getting bigger and bigger. So like every single time a new Xbox game comes out, it's breaking Game Pass records because there's just more people playing games. That continues to be true. So I feel like bigger, yes. Most important, yes, because it is going to affect the most people possible. Like, we're talking about the sequel to one of the best-selling games of all time, mm-hmm. and we're talking about $1 billion in a couple days. Like, that is going to happen again. That's a lot of money, right? Yeah. Like, that is the type of money where, even just looking at how many movies have made $1 billion, less than 20 ever of mm-hmm. all time. I think that's correct. How many have made $2 billion? Less than a handful. And here we have GTA 6 on the horizon, and we imagine that it is going to easily crush that multiple times over, mm-hmm. potentially. Like, that is incredible power. And on top of that, an interesting point that I Heal Boomers in the chat said, GTA will change game monetization like Fortnite did. And I absolutely think that it will. I feel like when you look at what GTA Online did after GTA 5 came out, because mm-hmm. think about this, GTA 5, all the numbers we were just talking about, that was just GTA 5. That's not even talking about the shark cards. That's not even talking about the success GTA Online has had for 10 years now, give or take, mm-hmm. right? When Fortnite came out and the battle passes and the way that it kind of made that a household term and the way that people understand skins in games and just like games being something that you might not even buy, it's free to play, but you're buying little things over time and that adds up very quickly, as we see. Rockstar has so much data behind all of that stuff that I feel like they're going to have a perfect strategy that is probably going to be familiar, but I imagine fairly different to what we've seen before. I think that they're going to come out and have some strategy that GTA 6 core game comes out, they make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then online comes out, whatever that looks like. And you got to imagine it is a incredibly plussed up version of everything that they've learned with GTA 5's online mode. And that includes a monetization strategy that is going to continue to print money for them forever, for 10 years.
Yeah. I'm definitely with you in terms of what GTA 6 is going to do at launch, right? I think because it's been so much time since GTA 5, because you've had it be the case where game for game, GTA has built up this level of, hey, this is a monumental release. Like, you are showing up at the midnight release at GameStop or Best Buy or wherever to line up and get this game, right? Like, this is going to be one of those ones where I'm sure Sony and Microsoft are going to have to like figure out, hey, can our servers like handle mm-hmm. the amount of like fucking downloads, and like depending on how they handle GTA Online, like let's say GTA Online comes out the same day as GTA 6. Let's say it's all done as one package and they don't separate it out. What does that look like in terms of online servers? We saw what happened last time with GTA 5, right? And of course, that was the Rockstar servers that were taking a hit when everybody's showing up for this thing at the same time. How are we going to handle that? Are we going to see like structures buckle under that? How is that going to deal? I think regardless, though, those initial launch day sales are going to be incredible. The tail on it is also going to be incredible. The thing I wonder, because the thing you bring up that I'm very fascinated to see is, yeah, like, is GTA 6 going to fundamentally change things in the way that Fortnite did, or in the way that, like, I would argue a Destiny did, right? Or like the games that we've seen that are online, that are live service games, that are these games that are living and breathing. I think that is a make or break thing based on the quality of the game. And we have high expectations of GTA because it's Rockstar. Mm-hmm. They've taken time with it. GTA 5 was great, but also GTA 5 was one that I think had as many complaints as it had successes and had like great things about it. You know, like we talk about how long it took for Heist to finally come out for GTA Online. You talk about how monetization in terms of the shark cards and how much money it takes to do certain things, or like how much setup it takes to, like, you know, start a heist and do the setup missions, all that stuff. It can be tedious, right? those are a lot of problems that I think spawned from that game being a 2013 game. Like, that GTA 5 came out for the PS3. Like, that is a game that, you know, it, ahead of its time, I don't even know if it's the right way to put it. It's a game that was trying to do so much, that was so, like, had a foot in the future, but had infrastructures that were just made in 2013. So, like, you can only do so much. Now Rockstar is making a game that is going to come out theoretically in 2025, that is post-Fortnite, that is post-Destiny, that is post this live service push. Is it going to come out and hit? Because, like, if GTA Online doesn't come out and hit, I think there's a bag there that you can fumble. Obviously, it's going to sell initially, but are they going to be able to keep that wave? That's the thing that I wonder.
I totally agree with you, and I think that no matter what, there's going to be almost an equal amount of think pieces of why GTA 6 isn't good, actually, no matter how good it is. But I'm with you to the extent that, like, I also don't think it's going to be the best thing ever, 10 out of 10 across the board. Every single thing about it is perfect, because it is going to be ambitious as hell.
Yeah.
So there's going to have to be some corners cut, or I don't even think corners cut's the right way to put it. It's more some goals that were not quite met, right? Like, I feel like they're not trying to cut corners with this. I think they are trying to do everything to the max. And I think you're right. But looking at what they did before with the rollout of the game coming out and then later having the online come out, they've now had 10 years of online working. You know what I mean? Like, they've it's not their first foray. And even that wasn't their first. Like, GTA 4 had online modes, but very, very different than what GTA Online brought with 5. And I feel like from that, this is now their, like, second generation of GTA Online that they're working on. So I think because of that, there's already a leg up. And I think because of things like Fortnite and Destiny happening, there is a better understanding for gamers out there of what those type of games and experiences are. That I think that for people that got into Fortnite or Destiny or Call of Duty, I think is actually a really good example. Call of Duty Warzone in the height of the pandemic, the amount of new gamers that came in, or returning gamers, people that played games in high school but they came back for Warzone.
Yeah.
I feel like they're not going to pop into GTA Online, no matter how much they loved previous GTA games, like back in like GTA 5 Online. They will jump into GTA 6 Online, and if it just works good enough, that's all it needs to do. I think it's going to do more than work good enough.
That's like,
I think it's going to have a lot of issues, though.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, GTA 6 Online, at the very base of it, right? Like, if it works, if it functions, that's great. I think it needs to do way more than that. I think the expectations of a GTA 6 Online, like, you look at the other games of service, you look at something like Fortnite, and Fortnite, at its base, right, has to focus in on that Battle Royale experience and nailing that Battle Royale experience. That's way easier to do than... And me speaking as a non-developer, right? Me speaking as just somebody who plays video games. I imagine way easier to do than what a GTA Online, I think, is tasked to do in 2024. You look at something like, I think Destiny is even like the probably like a more apt example of a game that is a world, right? A game that is, that has narratives that are flowing through it. A game that has different modes. A game that has new raids that are dropping, new modes that are dropping, all this shit. I think GTA Online has to do a great job of not only being this open world that people can hang out and do whatever, but have that content that's going to hit. I think that's the thing. That's the thing that the OG GTA Online, being the GTA 5 Online, has kept up with, but not necessarily, like, it's not like GTA Online has had the best content ever. Even the Dr. Dre stuff that I've loved, it's not like that was a cool novel thing of, oh damn, Dr. Dre's here. It's not like it was like the best playing thing in the world.
But I think it doesn't need to be. Like, because here's the thing, we're like, are we talking about this critically as like, oh, like, we want games to be amazing? Or are we talking about this as like, what do they need to do for it to be successful and for people to enjoy it enough? Because I feel like that is how Rockstar is going to look at it. And I feel like they've proven that they can do that. And I feel like all they need to do is bring back the different modes that have already hit over the years with GTA Online, but roll them out and like maybe have the big pop moment for them of like their introduction has like some more, maybe a story element, maybe not, you know, and just like let the people have fun. I think Red Dead Redemption 2's online is a good example of like, we all look at it as like, we didn't ever talk about it.
Yeah.
People really enjoy it. It's popping up. There's people, many people playing it, right? It's a success. And like, we just don't talk about
it. Is it a success? Like, I think for a Red Dead Online, like, I think we should be talking about it. Like, I think even when Red Dead 2 came out, you know, online dropped, and again, I forget the exact cadence, if that was like the week after or whatever, but I feel like it dropped and it came and it went. Like, I don't really have any friends that spent much time in Red Dead 2 online.
I mean, I'm always reading stories about people that are still playing, and it's like, okay. I and that's the thing is, like, I don't think it's a GTA success, but I think that, like, there is a large enough community that, like, I think you can chalk it as a success. I would love to get more information and numbers on this to actually know what we're talking about. But I mean, even like citing it against you saying Fortnite of like, oh, like it's easy for it to be battle royale, because Fortnite fucking did it right. Right. And like they were able to build off what they had, and then they add all the different modes in it, like the festival and Lego and rocket racers and all that stuff. That is GTA, right? Like, mm-hmm. that is the funniest thing, is that Fortnite over time nailed battle royale so well and the monetization of it, that now they're able to kind of compete with the racing in GTA and like all the other modes in GTA,
for sure.
Right. And I feel like from that, Rockstar clearly are going to be looking at all of that if they haven't already, and I do think that they're going to have a plan that, like I was saying, a new way of looking at how to monetize their game and over time, because it's not just going to be, oh, everything's here at once. Like, I do still think it's going to be very similar to GTA 5. I don't think it's going to launch with heists. And if it does, it's going to be like the one thing just to kind of like appease people.
Yeah.
And then over time, kind of like give people more shit, because they're looking for long-term success. They're not looking for like creating the greatest thing of all time for one moment, because as we've seen with any video game, no matter how long it is, no matter how much there is to do, no matter how great it is, people are going to finish it and be like, this is it? Mm-hmm. This is all the content there is?
Barrett, what's up?
I just got some Red Dead Online stats if you guys want them.
Yes, please.
So, at least from Video Game Insights, it says there are 2,500 active players. Not right now, but like I think in like the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at the Steam charts, again, this is just Steam. I don't know what the other platforms are going to be. The all-time peak for Red Dead Online was 18,000.
Yeah. From what I've seen, I wouldn't call Red Dead Online a success. Like, that seemed like a thing that kind of came and went. And
I know there were people who were super into it because they just want to be cowboys, but
yeah,
yeah.
And like, I think that
about it the same way.
That kind of leads to me wondering, is it too much for Rockstar, right? In terms of the ask that we have as fans of GTA 6 for them to put out something that is single player, that people expect to be one of the best single player campaigns of all time, with one of the best open worlds of all time and all that shit, right? Like, that's kind of the expectation we already put on them coming off of course them doing that with games like GTA 3, GTA San Andreas, GTA Vice City, and GTA 5, right? And 4. I guess I'm just listing all the GTA games at this point, but you get my point, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is an expectation that we're putting on them, right? To do that, and then to also have an online world, whatever you want to call it, an online mode that has to compete with Fortnite. Like, that is an insane ask. And of course, we're asking out of Rockstar and GTA, which is, again, one of the highest grossing entertainment franchises, period. So that's on them to live up to. My thing is, I don't think it's a surefire thing, right? I think, especially with the online, I think GTA 6, the base game, is going to be sick. I think that's going to be fantastic. I have faith in that. Obviously, like, even with Red Dead 2, which wasn't necessarily my cup of tea, I can look at that and go, there's quality there. Like, the fucking how good this looks, how well realized this world is. Yeah, like, if you put out a GTA 6 that is leveling up on what you've already done with this fidelity wise and put it on the PS5 and Xbox Series X, it's gonna be great. The online is the thing that I wonder about, because to your point of, you know, they're gonna make another GTA 5 type situation online, right? Where it is gonna be that same kind of format. You're gonna get more missions, whatever it is. Heists are gonna be rolled out, all that stuff. I do think that you'd have to level it up in some way. I do think you need especially in like the writing and the story stuff, I do think that you're going to have a, like, a narrative that feels a bit more involved than the GTA Online stuff. Because the GTA Online stuff almost feels retrofitted, where I think they had to figure out how to fit, like, a Dr. Dre storyline in there and fit, like, you know, the Lamar stuff, or like the stuff that we started getting in the second half of GTA Online felt like a, oh man, we didn't expect this to like be as ongoing and as big as it is still. So we're going to have to figure out how to make these updates in there. Now they're able to build that from the ground up. And I think what that means too, with a game that you're trying to build as like this world, especially in the GTA world, I think it has to have a bit, it has to have destiny to it, right? Like, I feel like you have to have those kind of expansions that get people involved and coming back from not just I'm hanging out in the world, but I'm invested in this world of online. I'm invested in the story here.
I guess I just see it from a different perspective of, I don't expect that. Like, I don't expect, I expect them to kind of be like, no, like, don't fix what's not broken. Like, let's just do it again.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can do it again.
I think that they can, and I think they'll make. I think they can. I think that they're going to, and I think they're going to make a lot of money doing it. And like, that's the thing is, like, Red Dead, the Red Dead Online, and to me, I understand like the success is not at all comparable, but it's like, for what people would have expected from the type of game Red Dead 2 ended up being, it's focusing more on the role playing elements of the online side of it, and it's like, yeah, cool, the numbers reflect that. I think the GTA is going to have the role-playing elements and the arcade elements and the we're just here to hang out with friends elements and just the online, we're coming back in to like play the new modes, drop it and all that. I think it's going to be almost exactly similar to GTA 5. Yeah. Like, I really feel like it is, the quality of it is going to be the same, just modern.
Yeah.
And the money's going to be the same, but probably more because they'll find new ways to make the money. And I just think that the kids that grew up playing Fortnite, they're itching for that M-rated bullshit, man. Like, that's like, we were those kids before. You know what I mean? And like, we fell in love with whatever GTA we fell in love with. But I think that's going to happen again. And I think that the online is just, it's one of those things where, what are the expectations for GTA? We're talking about this being the biggest game of all time, and like the, like, how lofty the goals of that have to be for them to achieve it. I just feel like when you compare that to other similar things, sometimes just doing the biggest thing ever again is all is hitting your goal.
Yeah.
And someone in the chat said, this is like Avatar to Avatar 2. Everyone's like, oh, Avatar 2. No, who the fuck's going to watch Avatar 2? Turns out a lot of people, right?
Yeah. I think the difference is that we're talking about video games. We're talking about a space that has evolved way beyond what GTA Online did in 2013. Like, I think GTA Online, when it came out in 2013, was revolutionary, right? It felt like this bigger thing. It felt cool because it was, okay, we're hanging out in the Grand Theft Auto world together. I think in 2025, 12 years later, post-Fortnite, post-Destiny, post-all this shit, the expectations have leveled up in a way that I don't think you can just do the same thing and have it be as successful, because we've gotten that before. And like, I don't think we're doing like what GTA Online did in 2013. I don't think that's how people are rocking necessarily in 2024. And I could be completely wrong about this. And like, honestly, to your point, I think if they did just do, hey, we're doing GTA Online again the exact same way, it's going to be like, the biggest change is that it's a new map and it's better fidelity, right? We're going off the GTA 6 graphics. I think that'll work. I think that'll be fine. But I think you have to aim higher than that as Rockstar. Like, I think as Rockstar, even just for who they are as developers, I think they'd want to aim higher than that, right? I think there's so much more you can do with it beyond that. And we haven't even talked about, like, even the idea of, in the reports that we had before, there were the ideas of adding in new maps, right? And it eventually becoming just GTA World. I think that is the game changer right there.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I think there's something there that you can do that could be really special over the next 10 years if you're able to make good on that internal idea that they were kicking around.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is the evolution that, like, would make everybody happy. And, like, that would be, like, people would lose their freaking minds.
Yeah. So, on the flip side of this conversation, going back to the idea of this being the most important game release ever, right, and to the list of things that are listed in the IGN article and that Matt Piscitello is referring to in terms of, you know, PlayStation is going to make money off GTA 6, Xbox is going to make money off GTA, everybody is going to get a cut out of this in some way, and it's going to help, like, kind of uplift the industry in a lot of ways, or it has that thing to carry. I also wonder, with how we've talked about live service games in the last year and how we talk about black hole games, of games that exist that are taking in a lot of money and that are kind of sucking up the air, right? It's hard for people to have disposable money to spend on all these video games when we're spending all our time in Destiny, or we're spending all our time in Fortnite and all this shit. Isn't GTA 6 going to be one of those, right? Like, the one thing that I'm curious to see and how it affects things is GTA 6 is a game that everybody's going to play. Everybody's going to show up for it. So many people are going to be invested in online. Isn't that going to be like another big black hole game that is going to suck air out of everything else? Not that it's going to come in and then like kill everything else, but you get what I mean. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I'm so curious on how that affects things.
I mean, yes, it will. But what's so unique about Grand Theft Auto is that it is single player and multiplayer, and they're separate. And like, they're treating it as the same game, but like, we haven't even heard about GTA 6 online officially.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, GTA 6 is going to have its moment, and I don't think that moment is going to black hole forever. You know what I mean? I feel like it's going to, for many people, it will. But I think that it's going to be like any other big game. Like, Zelda was huge for a lot of people, right? Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, huge for a lot of people. Ton of different games, huge for a lot of people. Grand Theft Auto's huge for pretty much everybody. So I feel like there is that level of like,
yeah,
it has more of an appeal for, I think, a bit longer of time. But how many people are just going to play through the campaign and they're done? That's their experience with it. I mean, say the majority of people that are going to pick the game up.
Oh, I don't know about that anymore. I think the majority of people are there for online now. Like, I think obviously everybody's going to play through the single player campaign.
Yeah, sorry, I'm talking about just when the game initially comes out. Okay, I don't think online's coming out.
You know, okay, I feel that. For me, I'll put it in the mind of, let's say online comes out the month after. I think that is going to be a, like, in the way
Do you think it comes out a month after? Because, like, that's, yeah, in my mind, like, where it's at right now, I don't know.
I think it does, yeah. Because I think online is now more of the product, right? I think you would use campaign to bring people in, mm-hmm, and blow people away. But then online is what you're selling to make most of the money as you go. And I think with that, you know, you talk about FF7 or like Zelda Tears of the Kingdom being a thing that y'all show up to and then you finish and then we move on to the next thing. That's not what GTA 6 is going to go for, right? Like, GTA 6 looks at itself as Fortnite. It looks at itself, yeah, as like an ongoing game that wants to exist for, I think that's one that's going to get people for a year, 2 years, right? It's going to get some people for 10 years. Like, I think that is what we're talking about when we're talking about GTA 6 and the effect that it's going to have.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you. I'm just more interested in the feasibility of this and also like the actual strategy, because I feel like it feels obvious to us of like, oh yeah, you'd want it out as soon as possible. Uh-huh. Like, I remember even on this show like years ago, I was arguing, I think it's going to be day and date with the actual core game. Now seeing everything, I'm like, that's foolish. It's not going to do that.
Uh-huh.
But a month after, I feel like makes sense on paper. But I feel like in reality, you want to give the game more time to just sell those billions of copies and then have that next talking point, that next huge launch that will essentially be the remarketing of the core game itself. So 3 months, I feel like, would be minimum.
How long was Red Dead Online? When did that come out compared to the base game? And also, were those separate things? Because Red Dead is such like a blur in my memory.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was.
GTA 5 was like 2 weeks, I believe, from like single player release to multiplayer release. Let us know how long the online was for Red Dead. Because now I'm curious.
It was a month later.
A month later?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I hear what you're saying. Because I think, you know, I think shifting out online allows you to have that, yeah, that second hit. And then, like, GTA 6 could release a single player and have a big impact for a year if you wanted it to, right?
Straight
like
up.
It could have that impact, and then you get that double impact, like the 9 months or however long after you want to release online. But I think online is so core to it. After GTA 5, I think online is part of that core experience, and I think that is what I think Rockstar cares more about, that part of the game's performance more than just a single player. And I think with that, like, treating them as one big thing,
yeah,
that lets you own the conversation in a different way. Right?
Absolutely.
People show up for a campaign, finish the campaign, and go, all right, let's see what this online is about. And like, you still keep them in. I think that's part of what they want to bank on.
Yeah, I mean, you're all good points. And like, it's going to be very exciting to see how they roll it out, because I think that there are multiple strategies that make a lot of sense. Because at the end of the day, if you get them in and they bought the game, they bought the game. Mm-hmm. So then if you're just making more money off of them immediately, like, the longer you take online to come out, the more money you're losing,
yeah,
by not giving them the option to pay for more shit. So they're going to want to get it out as soon as possible. But I wonder how bare bones it is. Maybe it is day and date launch. There's online, but it's very, very bare bones but then it's going to piss the people off to just jump straight into online.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why they did it again with Red Dead 2. And I think there's success in going, hey, let's let people finish the single player stuff, because they're gonna play that. Like, it's not like it's not like Call of Duty where people will pick it up just for the multiplayer. People will play just the campaign and bounce out. If you drop GTA 6 without the online, people are gonna play through that single player and enjoy it for whatever time. I think, like, as soon as it feels right, 2 weeks after, 4 weeks after, you drop that online for the people that are finishing it and you keep them in for like the rest of the year. And so I think somewhere you do that. But God, as we talk about it, I'm like so fucking fascinated and excited for this thing already, because I want to know what it is.
I mean, like, I know we're going a little long on this, yeah, but just thinking through business strategy and money strategy of this, we're assuming that GTA Online comes with GTA 6.
Mm-hmm.
What if it just straight up doesn't? And then is GTA Online free to play? Or is GTA Online a $70 game?
Yeah, that's such a bigger conversation. I think if you separate it out from GTA 6, I think it's a I think you go free to play. Get as many people in there as possible, and like shark they made so much money off of shark cards for GTA 5 online. And so I think if you can make it a thing where, hey, we make it free to play, everybody's playing it. Like, you have no excuse not to be playing GTA online, and have those cards ready for people, dude. At that point, you have a heist ready day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, honestly, the big factor.
If GTA is online, though, if GTA Online's free to play, I think that my argument of put it out months later makes more sense then.
I agree with that. Yeah, if it's free to play, I think, yeah, months later that we see it. But I don't think so.
I know.
I think you bundle them together, make that money, make that moolah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this more later on. But for now, before I get to story number two, let me tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the best polarized shades is a breeze. Get ready for a whole new level of clarity with Shady Rays Pro Polarized Lenses. This lens tech is all about tough durability and vibrant colors that pop. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays. Whether it's Tim looking dope during his Pokemon Go walk, Snowbike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses.
Shout out to Factor for sponsoring this episode. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Joey has been loving her Factor meals because every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. And Factor is flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And we're back. And while we're here, I'm going to throw in a couple of super chats because we got a lot of people wanting to talk with us about GTA 6 and GTA Online. Optimus Prime here gives us a super chat and says, I just hope 6 is a natural progression of 5 and not the regression of 4. Mm. Didn't have planes, driving sucked, etc. They have to have content at launch. I feel that.
I totally feel it too.
Although I don't like the 4 shade.
I get it though. I don't like it, but I get it.
Yeah.
I feel like... And I might eat my words here, but I feel like I'm not worried about the quality of GTA 6 core game. Like, I think that they're going to nail it. We might not love the story. We might not love this thing or that thing. But I think that the quality of GTA 6 is going to be incredible.
Rooster writes in and says, GTA Online still doesn't have any support for crossplay. Do you think GTA 6 will? It has to. If it doesn't, that's going to be very upsetting.
That's going to be a very big problem.
You have to. As Rockstar, for the kind of game GTA Online is, you have to have crossplay. And then Mr. Hawk says, how many gaming conglomerates will overhire due to the huge GTA 6 release numbers and then lay off all those people and things return to normal? Yeah, I mean, that's the flow, man. You know, that's the industry. You know, let's say we had those stories about Elden Ring, right? Where like people are writing articles, you see high numbers for it, and then like those numbers stop and people are like,
Why, that's capitalism, baby.
Where are the numbers? Where are the numbers at?
Why not infinite number go up?
Yeah.
All the time.
And so, yeah, it's gonna be an interesting time. I know for us, it is exciting, right? The idea of it, because you're gonna get that, probably gonna get a new Switch console somewhere around that too, and our number is gonna be crazy. But also, we're smart enough, and we're independently owned, and you know, Tim and Greg are running things, and I know that they understand why the numbers are the way they are. And so I'm not that worried about that.
Totally.
But also, it's exciting because like way more people are gonna discover our content through these releases, and so let's freaking go.
Yeah.
Story number two. Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection launch is a disaster. I'm pulling from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. I
hate to hear it.
God, why? You know, why?
Yeah.
Aspyr is under fire over the disastrous launch of the highly anticipated Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection, which is plagued with server issues, bugs, and more. Launching today, March 14th, the $34.99 Classic Collection, which includes the original two Star Wars Battlefront games, currently has a mostly negative rating on Steam, with just 21% of reviews being positive. Headlining most complaints are connectivity issues, with myriad Steam and social media users claiming just three 64-player servers were available at launch for the 9,232 players who logged in on Steam alone.
That's insane!
Why would they do
that?
What? Aspyr seemingly added more servers within a few hours of launch, but problems were rampant. Quote, was only able to join one Heroes versus Villains match, and the Heroes side was completely broken, said Kamaji on Steam. No one could join the Heroes team, which resulted in no one to fight against. I figured this may have been just a Battlefront 2 issue, so I hopped on over to Battlefront 1 multiplayer. There's zero servers up for Battlefield 1, or so, I guess they mean Battlefront 1. Battlefront 1, wow, end quote. Quote, as of right now, the multiplayer, otherwise known as the only reason to buy this product if you already own the original games, is entirely unplayable, making this game a waste of money until that issue is fixed, said Kitsune Kami. Currently, game is totally unplayable, even if you manage to get into a server. Players cannot spawn. Not sure if it's a cheater or denial thing. Bugged gameplay or both, said Night Night. God, I love usernames.
I know. God bless Night Night.
Server issues appears to be just one part of the problem, however. Aiming has been flagged as a major issue, including on PC with mouse sensitivity and on consoles with traditional controller support. Quote, aim controls make it unplayable in multiplayer, said Slider768 on Reddit. The complete lack of aim assist, there is one in solo, make it awful. It's been designed for controllers of the original Xbox era, but the price point is high and nothing has been touched on this front, end quote. You hate to see it.
Wow. I didn't see this coming. I gotta be honest. It looks incredible. I was just talking this game up a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, maybe. Like, it... This is such a bummer. You guys have been playing it a little bit?
I've been playing a little bit, yeah, on a PlayStation 5. Barrett's been playing... I think Barrett has been playing the PC version.
Tell me about these controls.
I've been playing on Steam Deck. And so, like, I feel like the control stuff that they were talking about of, like, aim and assist, they're talking specifically multiplayer. I have not touched multiplayer whatsoever. I've just been... because, you know, I was gravitating more towards the stuff I played as a kid on the PS2, and, like... I wasn't hooking up my PS2 and figuring out all the online shit back in the day. So I was just like, I loaded up Galactic Conquest. I've played 6 hours of the Classic Collection, and 5.5 of those hours were just one campaign of Galactic Conquest. Honestly, the local stuff I think is still really good. I would say if like you already own Battlefront 2 on Steam, this probably isn't worth a purchase, because you can already play it. The one kind of leg up this has for me personally is that the Steam Deck the controls for the Classic Collection actually like work on Steam Deck. Battlefront 2 I could get working and running on Steam Deck, but then the controls were all sort of fucky and like trying to get it all like remapped and all that stuff. It just wasn't truly working out, and I think it like the original Battlefront 2 PC version like couldn't detect that it was a controller on the Steam Deck. It was like, oh, you're using a mouse and keyboard. It's like, ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And so like I like it for that convenience. I can play it a game that I absolutely adored as a kid, handheld, wherever I go, and that's awesome. It sucks about the multiplayer stuff, for sure. I was never planning on touching that anyway, but like the promise of like 64 players for like online stuff seemed like really cool for people who wanted it. It's insane to me that they had three servers available.
Yeah,
for
that's, that makes like, no sense.
You're re-releasing essentially like cult classics here, like Battlefront 1, but then Battlefront 2, which I would say is the cult classic. You know people were going to fucking show up for it. Like, what was the
even? I feel like even if you underestimate, that's like what, less than, you expect less than 200 concurrents?
Like, I know this many people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild.
That's super crazy. It feels like an oversight, which is a weird oversight.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I bet you this is a story that tomorrow on Games Daily will be like, ah, there's more servers now, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, already, no, they already added some, two hours like, after they added like, a few more.
Launch, like at midnight, someone in the chat said, didn't even know Battlefront had single player stuff. Yeah, that's like how I played
that's
Battlefront.
That's also
it's
how
like,
I played.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Like PS2, and, like Battlefront 1, Battlefront 2, it's like you had the like campaigns in Battlefront 1 and then like the cool like 501st campaign in Battlefront 2, and then yeah, just like doing like I would have friends over and then we would just do local split screen.
Yep, you know? That's the thing is I view Battlefront as local multiplayer for the way I played it, and also single player for
which
the way
is
I played
how we're
it.
We're gonna stream it after this. That was always our plan. We weren't gonna do like the
online
big multiplayer thing. We're gonna have a fun 4 to 5 hour game of Galactic Conquest.
And I cannot wait. And that's the thing is like, you know, I've had a good time playing Battlefront 2, playing this the PS5 version. It's like it's a remaster, right? Like, it's not like they've gone in and redone everything, but it looks good. It looks better than it did on PS2.
I think it looks great.
Yeah, like, it looks good. And then, yeah, like, if I'm playing this game from my childhood, it plays exactly that same way for me. And so I don't really have complaints there. I honestly, while playing, it was a point where I looked at Bear and I'm like, damn, maybe Aspyre needs to do more. And now after reading this, I'm like, ooh, maybe Aspyre does need to do more.
Well, in terms of the multiplayer set, like, Aspyre has kind of been the studio that does a lot of like the remastering ports of older Star Wars games. I would have to actually look at the list of specific ones that they've done, but they've been the kind of porting Star Wars team for years at this point.
Yeah.
I think this was, correct me if I'm wrong, chat, maybe their first big like multiplayer attempt.
And what sucks about this is everything you guys are saying is absolutely true, but, and I know you guys know this, you two specifically, the point of this, though, is taking that experience and modernizing it so that it can be multiplayer.
Yeah.
And if they drop the ball there, it's like, guys,
yeah.
Like, no.
I will say, during the announcement, I was excited about the idea of hopping into multiplayer servers. I was like, oh, okay, cool, that sounds awesome, because I didn't get to do that as much as a kid. I was telling Barrett right before the show that Battlefront 2 was one of the first games that I played online at home, where I, like, growing up, right, like, I had a PS2, but I didn't really have the option to connect it online. And then one day, like, I got a bit older and I was like, what if I take my TV and take it downstairs to the computer room and then take my PS2 and then hook it up? And I played Burnout 3 online. And this is like 2008, past when people were even playing these games. So I found like two people in Burnout.
Yeah.
And like I raced against them and it was fucking awesome.
Shout out to the three people in 2008 who
that's really,
yeah,
really
me and two other people playing server. Burnout 3 online. And then I switched over to Star Wars Battlefront 2. And there were like a couple of games that were running at that time on PS2. And one of them was like the Heroes versus Villains game. And I hopped into it and I was like, this is fucking cool. Like this, that was like such a cool experience.
Future.
I was like, this
even though it's the past.
Yeah, the future. Like, man, online gaming is a thing. And then, like, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not gonna take my TV downstairs every single time to play more Battlefront 2 online. And so I was like, the one time I did that.
Also, Roger, if you're watching this, like, we're complaining about Star Wars Battlefront. If you want to come,
if anyone has any complaints,
I mean,
well,
like,
we gotta move on, so we don't have time. But I will say, like, 70 gigabytes is the thing that Roger's been talking about this entire time. For every single day for the last week, Roger's like 70 gigabytes.
He'll be sitting there, he just goes, 70 gigabytes.
Yeah, I'm like, damn. The first time he complained about it, I was like, yeah, that is crazy. But then, like, the seventh day, I'm like, Roger, is that the series?
Roger, well, we did start, like, gaslighting him a little bit where it was like, oh, well, Roger, it's two games and, like, each game 30 gigs. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
that
makes
out.
Sense.
He's like, they're PS2 games.
A DVD. Could only hold 4.7 gigabytes.
Oh, do you know how much space it takes to fit an orchestra? in that, like, thing? It's the only Star Wars score.
It's 30 on PS5 though, right, Bless?
Yeah, it's not that much on PS5.
It's only PC. Like I looked at it on like my laptop out here, and it said 62 for that PC, and then when I was downloading it on the Steam Deck, it said 72. So the Steam Deck is the beefiest one. I don't know why.
wild. But hey, if you want to see us play some Battlefront 2 right after KHD, youtube.com is kind of funny games, twitch.tv/kind of funny games, me and Barrett doing Galactic Conquest for hours. I'm very excited, Barrett.
It's also Pi Day.
Yeah, and we're getting pie.
Hell yeah.
I'm so excited. Moving on to story number three, Embracer confirms $247 million sale of Saber assets. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Embracer has officially sold off Saber Interactive, the group which is home to studios 3D Realms, Slipgate, Ironworks, and more, for $247 million. In an announcement to investors on Thursday, Embracer said the sale meant it would now cease all operations in Russia while improving its cash flow. Saber is being sold to a group of private investors under Beacon Interactive, a company controlled by Saber Interactive co-founder Matthew Karch. According to Bloomberg, Beacon intends to exercise an option to acquire 4A Games, that's of the Metro Games, and Zen Studios, who makes pinball games, which would see the total value of the deal rise to about $500 million. Saber will keep studios Nimble Giant, Star Trek Infinite, 3D Realms, who does Ion Fury, Sandbox Strategies, New World Interactive, who does the Insurgency games, Slipgate Ironworks of Graven, Mad Head Games, who does Scars Above, and Fractured Bite, who does the Borderlands Legendary Collection, and Digic. Embracer will retain Tripwire, Beamdog, Tuxedo Labs, Demiurge, Shiver, Aspire, Snapshot Games, and 34 Big Things. That's the name of the studio. It's not like 34 more big studios.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
34 Big Things, who makes the Redout games. Embracer CEO Lars Wingfors says in a statement, quote, "I am pleased that we have found a win-win solution for Embracer because we want to keep abusing Lord of the Rings." He didn't say that. I added that. But he says, "A win-win solution for Embracer and the parts of Saber that now will leave us. This transaction puts both companies in a stronger position to thrive going forward."
I mean, all things relative, this is good news. Right?
Sure.
Saber has been unembraced. These two companies have a better chance at less people being laid off. Not no people.
Sure. You
know? But hey, Saber could have just been closed.
Yeah.
So, which not just could have, likely could have. So, yeah.
I want to know who bought them. Do we know? Did I miss that? They've been sold. I don't think he, it's being sold to a group of private investors. Under Beacon Interactive.
Hmm. Why does that sound shady as fuck?
It sounds like a shadow
some
group.
Dudes in some
like a shadow
coats.
Organization.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna learn
great.
That
Lale,
like,
Lule, Lo.
The worst people we know are gonna come out and be like,
well,
I own Saber. That's yeah. God. Story number four,
God.
Dungeons and Dragons survival RPG life sim is in the works at Disney Dreamlight Valley Dev.
This is another one of those Mad Lib things. We're just putting words together.
We're just putting words together. All in all, I think this is very exciting, but just reading Dungeons and Dragons survival RPG life. It sounds like such an mad lib, but hey, still cool. This is from Wesley and Poole at IGN. The Dungeons and Dragons video games are coming thick and fast. The latest is a survival role-playing game life sim.
What, no.
That's what he wrote. That's what
wrote
he wrote.
This?
Wesley, we gotta talk, bro.
Bro.
And he put he puts a dash after that.
Like he wanted us to sit with
he
that.
He wanted
a
pause after that.
Wes. What's going on, man?
The Dungeons and Dragons video games are coming thick and fast. The latest is a survival role-playing game, Life Sim, from the makers of Disney Dreamlight Valley. Game Loft Montreal is working on the new Dungeons and Dragons game set in the Forgotten Realms. It's described as a unique and innovative experience blending survival, action RPG, and life simulation that'll test players' skills in an unforgiving campaign set in the D&D universe. This untitled Dungeons and Dragons game is expected to launch on PC and consoles, although no release window was mentioned, nor any videos or screenshots released. All we have to go on at this point is a solitary piece of key art. Quote, "The game set in the mythical Forgotten Realms within the Dungeons & Dragons universe will bring unique cooperative gameplay built around an innovative hybrid of survival, life simulation, and action RPG. Players can expect an adventure where the rich lore of this legendary franchise meets real-time survival in a unique campaign of resilience, camaraderie, and danger at nearly every turn," end quote. Here's the thing that I'll say.
Say it.
This is going to be a big success.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big fucking success. Because let me tell you, all the people who I know who play D&D, they're also big fans of Life Sims.
And Disney Dreamlight Valley, good game.
Oh, great game,
Everybody I know that likes Animal Crossing-like games loved this game.
Yeah.
So I feel like this Mad Lib adds up to be like, oh, wow, that worked out.
Yeah. I already know multiple people in mind that are going to play the fuck out of this video game. And also, Dungeons & Dragons is on fire right now in a good way, right? Like, coming off of Baldur's Gate 3, if you want to talk about people in the video game side of things having interest in Dungeons and Dragons, Baldur's Gate 3 brought so much to the table. That blew up so much. And I think now over there at, who owns Dungeons and Dragons? Is it Hasbro?
No.
Chat, Wizards. Let me know. Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the right? Coast.
Yeah.
Aren't they owned by Hasbro? Am I making shit up? Let me know in chat. Either way, I know they're like, we got to make as many video games as possible. We got to keep making these video game deals.
Did either of you see the movie?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Did you like it?
I really liked the movie.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it. I heard.
Really?
Yeah,
really
I hear that it's one of those like cult classic-y type things that in years people are going to be like, that movie was
awesome. For some reason, I could have sworn I saw it with you, but like it must have been Kevin and Joy. It was great. Yeah,
it's not, I need to watch it.
It's not the best movie in the world, right? Like, don't expect like a, oh man, this is something I'm going to remember forever, but it's a fun watch. It's a fun family watch.
Was it? I think it was from the creators of Game Night, which I freaking loved. So I need to check that out.
Also, Chad is saying it is Hasbro. But I think it is like Hasbro at the top, Wizards of the Coast, and then under that, D&D.
I just looked that up.
Thank you. Tim, the big thing that's going to happen.
So many.
A Dungeons and Dragons life sim. Yep. It's so big. Dungeons and Dragons. But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I look?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
That's right. It's time for our final news story. Story number 5. It's Wii News. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection, is getting delisted in Japan on March 29th.
What the fuck? I hate that.
Yeah. I wonder what...
But it's not getting delisted outside of Japan. It's just in Japan.
Like, that. Why is it getting delisted? I don't like that at all. Amazing collection of games. Well, it's an amazing collection of games. I'm not saying the games are amazing, but...
Fair enough. No, that's fair. Ocho, that is O-X-T-O, is coming to PS4 and PS5 and
shout
Switch
out to you.
On March 28th. I know that because they were at the game showcase last year. That was one of the games he played. It's like it's a Hotline Miami-like roguelike game. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's being the game showcase. Tomorrow, it's happening. Exciting times, baby. 10 a.m.
Show up. Moon Glow Bay is coming to PS4 and PS5 and Switch on April 11th. And then I have a required reading for you that I'm sneaking in here for Wii News. This morning, an article went up on Wired. It was written by Megan Farokmanesh. It's titled The Small Company at the Center of Gamergate 2.0. I'm going to read the beginning of it, but I highly recommend people actually go over to the article, read the full thing, because I think it's a very well-written article that kind of helps contextualize a lot of what's been going on in the last couple of weeks on the internet of devs getting harassed, people in the media getting harassed, all that stuff. The article reads like this, beginning of it. The accusations began around the release of Spider-Man 2 last October. More came when Alan Wake 2 hit a week later. They were all over the replies to the social media account of Sweet Baby Inc., hateful comments, many of which hinged on the idea that the Montreal-based narrative development and consulting company was responsible for the wokeification of video games, recalls Kim Belair, the company's CEO. Online, those clamoring for Sweet Baby's demise are calling it Gamergate 2.0, invoking the online harassment campaign that erupted into a culture war a decade ago. Quote, people want to believe that our work is surgically removing the things that they would have liked. Change this line, make this line less racist, she says. That's just not the reality of it, end quote. Again, the article goes into a lot more detail, interviewing the people over there at Sweet Baby, talking about like what the truth of the matter is, talking about like what they do there, and then giving context for what is going on right now.
The realities of the situation.
Yeah. And so highly recommend going over to Wire, checking out Megan's article. And yeah, be good to each other.
People. That's it, right? Yeah. I think that's the most important message is like be good out there.
Tim, I'm going to baton pass to you because we got an NVIDIA GeForce update.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to NVIDIA GeForce for partnering with us, helping the show go on. And they got a lot of cool stuff going on. GDC's popping off. So that means they, of course, want to get in on all the action. They will be at GDC. Spring is in the air, especially if you are in San Francisco, like we are, baby. Yeah. Where the gamer version of spring training kicks off with the annual GDC. Game creators from around the world come to exchange ideas and show off the newest in-game tech for upcoming titles. And NVIDIA wants to make sure you have all of its top news. Things like, two, new games are announced to receive DLSS 3.5, NVIDIA's most advanced AI gaming technology to bring you the highest performance possible for full ray-traced graphics. The highly anticipated Black Myth Wukong is launching on August 20th. And also, Naraka Blade Point will be adding full ray tracing and DLSS 3.5 to areas of its PvP and PvE modes, with more upgrades coming on the way. The combination of the two is where things really sing. You get the full ray tracing and the DLSS. And like, come on.
It looks great.
Come on. Like, let's go. Next up, we got Star Wars Outlaws with DLSS 3. Star Wars Outlaws will be leveraging GeForce RTX GPU technologies to make its PC version sing with accelerated performance. This game will be launching with NVIDIA DLSS 3, ray tracing, and the latency reducing reflex technology. I was just saying, yeah, the two things together. Why not add reflex in there? Mm-hmm. Add all three. Really make this thing bang. And then finally, Portal with RTX DLSS 3.5 and RTX IO updates. Portal's getting its 2020s glow up with DLSS 3.5 and RTX IO technologies available now. Andy, we did the launch party thing for this when the first update came out, and it just made one of the best games of all time look like one of the best games of all time. Because back in the day, Portal, not a looker. Art design, amazing.
Of course.
But, like, you know, not necessarily the most pretty game. Well, now it is, everybody. Frame rates are now boosted further on RTX 40 series GPUs, and the addition of NVIDIA RTX IO means levels and textures load ultra fast without bogging down your CPU. Portal with RTX is absolutely free on Steam to anybody that owns Portal already.
There you go. Thank you for that, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
We have one more super chat I'm going to bring in here from Ben Loblick, who actually, this is a kind of funny membership, but I already said your name, so I'm going to read your thing anyway. Also, God bless you for the membership. What feature do you want the most in GTA 6? Better free running, on foot movement would be really cool, and even more car customization. Thanks as always, guys.
You know, it's funny. He kind of nailed it there with the better free running on foot movement. Like, yeah. I want GTA's movement to just feel better, both in car and on foot. There's something about it that, like, ever since GTA San Andreas, the car driving's never felt quite right to me.
Really?
And maybe I'm alone there.
See,
but
for,
like,
me, it was GTA 5 fixed a lot of my... GTA 4 felt like you were driving on ice always. Yeah. That was ridiculous. GTA 5, I love the driving.
Yeah, you know what? I'm definitely speaking like an old-ass man. For some reason, I always forget 5.
Listen, I get it. Dude.
Like, I know...
I get it.
But, I guess that is the thing. Like, 5 did solve so many of the issues. But even then, I feel like the... on foot stuff of 5 didn't. There's some room for improvement, especially playing a lot of modern games where, like, I was just talking about this a lot recently with Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. I love that you're just walking around, the Cloud's just bopping into the water, out of the water. It doesn't freaking matter. It's a video game. Let's just allow me to move where I want to move. You know what I'm trying to do.
Can I be a hypocrite and I, like, throw out a double standard? Because one of my complaints with Red Dead Redemption 2, I hated how, like, sluggish movement was and how Rockstar was, where I'm like, all right, I'm fucking tripping over a rock on my way to try and get on my horse. And then, like, I fucking fell over my horse on one time, and then my horse died because I was
straight at his balls.
Yeah, looking straight at his balls that were growing and shrinking based on the temperature. I think that was Metal Gear Solid 5. I digress. Well, no, the Metal Gear Solid 5 horse shits.
Yeah.
But no, maybe
it was
all
the
ball.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Both those games have unnecessary horse details. Like, why'd they go that hard? Like, Kojima and Rockstar, calm down with the horses. Hey, could you imagine if I'm just playing Shadow of Colossus and on my way to one of the Colossuses,
my
horse shits?
It's like, oh, I thought you were going to go a different way with that.
Well, you thought I was going to go with the Colossus balls? Shrink and grow based on the temperature? Listen, if they want to step up to the graphical fidelity that either Kojima or Rockstar are putting out in 2024, fucking whatever year it is.
Figure it out, Ueda.
Figure it out. But the double standard that I want to throw out there is, yeah, I hated that sluggishness in Red Dead Redemption 2. In GTA 5, I fucking love it. Like, I love the fact that I'm a fucking ragdoll, like, fucking weak-ass bitch. Like, if I get hit by a car, I'm fucking flying across the thing, and it takes me 10 seconds to fucking get up. Like, I hate how ridiculous it is, or I love how ridiculous it is in GTA 5. And, like, I think part of it is that I just get in a car, and now it is a video game. Like, when I'm driving around, it's way easier. Unless you're in single player, then if you hit something, you fucking fly out of your windshield. But I fucking love how ridiculous this is in GTA 5, because, like, you can find ways to make that game quicker. I think in Red Dead Redemption 2 is the fact that I couldn't make that game quicker. Like, even when I'm on the horse, it's like, all right, cool, I'm just riding on to the next location. Yeah, nay, like, right, cool, whatever. In GTA 5, it's so ridiculous, and but I love it. You know, I think it causes more chaos. And so that's why I like
that's
it.
That's funny.
But yeah, I don't know what, like, the feature is for me. I think free running would be sick. Yeah, like a more, like, a parkour system in GTA. I think that could be really cool. So I might just steal your answer, Ben. I'm sorry. Moving on. TheKindOfFunny.com/you'rewrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. We have just one from Napa, who says, it's in the VGC article, but Beacon Interactive is controlled by Saber Interactive co-founder Matthew Karch. It was probably established specifically for the sale so that Saber Interactive could buy Saber Interactive, basically. That's
got
cool.
It. Who are these people?
Who are they? Who are you, Matthew? This reminds me of I'm not gonna get into it. I was gonna get into like fucking Rockefeller's going through a thing right now, right? Where like I think the shares are shared between three people. It's like Jay-Z and then two other people. One of those people is like in the process of having to sell off those shares because like a lawsuit. Like they have to like, you know, he has to essentially sell the shares to get the money to pay for the lawsuit. And so I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about like, oh, what if he sells the shares back to Jay-Z and then Jay-Z holds the shares for him and then he gets them back later. But apparently him and Jay-Z don't get along. Now it's like, it's a big old
real
drama.
Rap beef.
And so people are saying that maybe the shares land in Nas's hands. So now Nas...
Shut the fuck up.
No, yeah, they're saying Nas could own a third of Rockefeller.
What?
Yeah. Is it Dame Dash chat? I forget who it was.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be Dame Dash.
Oh my... What?
Yeah, it was like, I think... Dame Dash is going to sell to somebody who is then going to sell to Nas. How crazy would that be? Nas and Jay-Z co-owning fucking Rockefeller together? Insane. Yeah, it was the Rory Mall Pod.
That's amazing.
That's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tim, of course, this has been another great episode. Battlefront 2 after this. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch us record them live and get a daily exclusive show.
Lexi Gunner says, Cam and Mace gonna buy him out.
Can you imagine? Oh my God. Until next time, Game Daily.